because they ran out of people. But he was supposed to give this one.
Did you get that?
Oh. No, I'm saying I only have one. Because you ran out of paper, so you get some more paper to print out the
10,000.
Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so now we're on the Dasamu. There you go. 10 roots of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Amnayav prahatattvam harimiha paramam sarva shaktim rasabhim. Tadbhinam shajivan prakriti kavalitam stav tadbhimuktam shabhavat. Bheda bheda prakasham shakalam apihare sadhanam shudhavaktim. Sadyam tat pritim evet yuparishati harir gaura chandro bhaje tvam. So I have here Amnayav, the Vedic literatures, praha, declare, tatvam, the absolute truth, harim, hari, Krishna, iha, here, paramam, the supreme, Sarva Shaktim, full of all energies, Rasabdhim, ocean of rasa, Tadbhinamscha, jivan, the living entities are as separated parts and parcels, Prakriti Kavalitams, swallowed up by the external energy, Tadbhimuktams, some of them liberated, Chabhavata, and can become, Beda Bheda Prakasham, a manifestation different from and one with, Sakalam, everything, Apihare, indeed of Hari, Sadhanam, the practice, Shuddhabhaktim, pure devotional service, Sadhyam, the goal, Tat Pritim, love for him, Hari, Evaiti, certainly thus, Uparishati, is taught, Harir, by Hari, Gaurachandra, in the form of Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya, Bhaje Tvam, I worship him. So, I worship Lord Hari Gaurachandra, who teaches us the following 10 theistic principles. 1. The Vedic literature is the only source of knowledge about the absolute truth. 2. Hari, Krishna, the Almighty, is the Supreme Lord. 3. Krishna is always invested with infinite powers. 4. Krishna is the ocean of rasa. 5. The soul is Krishna's separated part. 6. Certain souls are engrossed by Krishna's illusory energy. 7. Certain souls are released from Krishna's illusory energy. 8. All spiritual and material phenomena are simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. 9. Pure devotional service is the only means for obtaining the final objective of life. 10. Pure love of Godhead is the final objective of life. Okay, so these are the 10 roots of all, means all of our philosophy, any aspect of it fits into these 10. Like that. That's why this is so important, right? And this then is established. As Sambandavideya Prayojana, Sambandha will be 1 through 8, 9 will be Avideya, 10 will be Prayojana. Right? That makes sense? 1 through 8, Sambandha, 9 Avideya, 10 Prayojana. In the Sambandha, or this also is divided, the first one of that is Praman, and the next. And then 2 through 10 is pramayas. Praman is authority, evidence, and the pramayas are that which is proved by this evidence. Okay? We got that? So we see we're starting with sambandha abhideya prayojana, but the full detail of the main categories of this then is given here as these dasamo.
Okay.
Any questions on that? No. Okay. So we see in here is that 2, 3, and 4 is about Krishna. 5, 6, 7 is about the living entities. And 8 then is the relationship of the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual world, you know, in other words, what is created in this relationship with Krishna. Alright, so therefore that's why this is complete in its sambandha jnana. You've described Krishna, the jiva, and the material energy. Right? But this eighth one is Veda Veda Prakasham. It also describes the spiritual everything. What's the relationship between everything? Right? 8 is talking about the process by which you'll obtain the final goal. And 10 then is the final goal. Okay? See that? Then we see here, Krishna is established. He's the supreme person. Then he is full of all energies. Everything is, all energies are coming from him. And he is the ocean of rasa. Right? So therefore, with those living entities, he's having a relationship. Right? The soul is Krishna's separated part. Of those, you have those who are liberated in the spiritual platform, those who are conditioned in the material platform. Right? Then, whether it's spiritual or material, jivas are liberated or not, spiritual world or not, it's simultaneously one and different from Krishna. Right? In any case, whatever one's position, devotional service is the means for obtaining the final objective. Right? Even if one is on the transcendental platform, then to maintain, to express one's love for Krishna, then you're going to use devotional service. Because the final objective of life is prema. So to express that prema, to please Krishna through that, then even the liberated souls are following the same process. Right? And that pure love of God to obtain to, that pure love of God to express, that is then the final goal. Does that make sense? So whether one is conditioned or liberated, all these still apply. Okay? Okay, so dasamo niryas. So then... Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura gives the verse, then he gives word notes, in other words, his synonyms, but they're also sometimes expanded on, you know, meanings of them, so it's more clear. Then there's a translation. Okay. Amnaya Prahatattvam. The ninefold aspects of wisdom revealed as authorized by the Vedic scriptures, such as. Right. Okay, so he's saying here that all these nine aspects of wisdom are revealed by the scriptures. Right? That's what's very important. The Veda is authority. This whole idea is that it doesn't apply now. You've got to have a screw loose. You really have to have a screw loose. To consider that the Veda wouldn't apply, since the Veda is eternal, today is also part of eternality. You know, there's got to be something wrong. You have to have issues. There must be some kind of anartha or some misgiving, some doubts. You know, you couldn't with a straight face, standing on the principle of pure devotional service, say that the scriptures don't apply. Right? Everything is proved by the scriptures. Everything comes from the scriptures. Like that. Anything worth dealing with is established by the scriptures. Right? And even those things that are not worth dealing with, still they have a connection to the scriptures, and that their origin is still in Krishna. It's just the form of it doesn't matter. Like the example of one very smart person, one day was discussing with Srila Prabhupada, and then he came to basically know that the Guru knows everything. So he says, if you know everything, then you should be able to tell me how many windows in the Empire State Building. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, how many windows in a mirage? Right? In other words, what does it matter how many windows is in an illusion? Like that. That's not what Guru shows you, that this is a mirage and it doesn't matter. You know, but they're thinking if you know everything, then you know how many, you know, bricks are, you know, in this column or something. You know, it's stupid stuff. But that's what we mean. To oppose the Vedic version, you have to be ignorant. You just have to be. You may not understand it, you may have doubts, misgivings, but you want to understand it, that's fine, that's fair enough. One's been in the material world a long time, one has issues. That's not our problem. But to say that the Vedas aren't going to give answers to those issues, that these issues can't be dealt with or understood or applied through Vedic version, that's ignorance. That's a problem. Sri, one, Sri Hari is the only source of wisdom. Two, he is omnipotent. Three, he is the ocean of universal bliss. Four, the living entities are the parts and parcels of Sri Hari. Five, some of the living entities are conditioned by the material nature. Six, some of the living entities are liberated from material nature. Seven, the universe is nothing but the manifestation in oneness and difference with Sri Hari. Eight, uncontaminated devotional service is the only means of liberation for the conditioned souls. Nine, love for the Supreme Godhead is the only goal of knowledge and wisdom. Thus, in the verse, the requisites for wisdom as revealed by Sri Krishna Chaitanya are presented, right? So, not only if we don't accept the Vedic version, we don't accept Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya accepts the Vedic version. Right? He is the one who only chants Hare Krishna, and he accepts the Vedic version. Right? Right? This concept of only chanting Hare Krishna is coming from him. Right? Translation. I worship Sri Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya, who has revealed the path of wisdom. The Vedic scriptures are the only authority for knowledge of the ninefold aspects of wisdom, which are. Right? He's revealed the path of wisdom, and he's saying that this wisdom is only to be found in the Vedic literatures. Because right? Wisdom means realization. That means realization of who you are, who God is, what's the relationship, and your process for applying that. What is your goal? Right? One, Sri Hari is the only source of wisdom. Right? In other words, we're taking it, he is the Supreme Lord. Right? But he is the only source of wisdom. Therefore, and we're saying that the Vedic literatures are the authority for knowledge of this. So that means we understand they come from Krishna. So to reject the Vedic literatures is to reject Krishna's instructions. Right? That's like saying, yeah, you're a great dad, I like you, but your instructions have no meaning. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really follow. Okay, God's God, but that's kind of where it ends. You know, for giving us instruction, giving us relevant information, that doesn't really work. Right? So that position, though very modern and very popular, is not a very good position. Right, especially if you want to develop your love for God. Right? If you love God, then you love everything about God. So that means his knowledge is also quite lovable. He is omnipotent, means all potencies are coming from him. Right? So that we have no problem with. He is an ocean of bliss, means all. He is the reservoir of pleasure, of rasa. So all rasas are in him. Everything that is to be tasted in rasa is coming from him. It originates in him. Right? Four, the living entities are his parts and parcels. Five, some of the living entities are conditioned by material nature. 6. Other living entities are liberated from material nature. 7. Everything, including the jivas, is one and different from Sri Hari. 8. Unalloyed devotional service is the only means for the conditioned souls to go beyond this world of birth and death. Right? There's no other process. Right? So therefore, if someone makes a mistake in devotional service, is there any other rectification than devotional service? No. Right? Unless your idea is to perfect materialism. Right? Then you might have some other alternative. But if within the process of devotional service is a problem in devotional service, the only rectification is devotional service. Right? 9. Love for the Supreme Lord, prema, is the only goal. Okay? So these are all 9 of them. So now we'll go into each one. Okay? That's the overview. Yes. Should you have?
Yeah.
It would be really great, but then that means then you have to produce a ream of paper really fast. So if you don't have, you're not walking around with a ream of paper in your bag, it makes it really hard to get the printer to agree to deliver this nice literature written by our acharya. So we would like you to have it, but unfortunately, it's not going to happen today. We're hoping maybe it'll happen on Thursday. But at least you have the first page, so you can refer back to it. Okay, verse 2. Okay. The word notes. The transcendental wisdom of the 10 maxims is being enumerated in 10 verses. Okay. Swara siddho veda haridaita vedya prabrita. The Vedic scriptures are the only source of all authoritative wisdom according to words mentioned therein. Namely, asya maha tu bhutasya nishvasi tame tat rigveda, etc. The Vedic instruction is obtained through disciplic succession by Brahma as the closest associates of the Supreme Lord. According to the words Brahma Devanam Pratama Samva Bhuva, as stated in the Mukunda Upanishad, must be considered as the Vedas and not dry arguments and speculation. And that those are the only Vedic maxims. Right? So he's quoting from Veda to establish that the Veda is the bona fide method. Right? Pratyakshadi pramiti sahitam, with perceptible proofs. Na, about us. Tan pramiti vishayan, about those propositions. Navavidhan, ninefold propositions. Sadayati. Sadhyati. Sadayati. Performs. In this respect, the wise advice expounded by Sri Jiva Prabhu runs thus. In spite of highly developed intelligence and expertise, all men are polluted with 4 illusory propensities. And so they are unfit for realizing transcendental spiritual knowledge of inconceivable nature. For this reason, the 10 propositions revealed by them are also faulty and imperfect. As such, the intelligence of the living entities is unable to ascertain the inconceivable nature of transcendental truth. And accordingly, through such understanding, no spiritual aspect of wisdom can be proved. But if we are interested in realizing the inconceivable wonderful aspects of the transcendental, omnipresent truth, we should accept the authoritative Vedic scriptures as the fountainhead of all material and spiritual wisdom perpetrated through the eternal continuing chain of disciplic succession. Right? So in other words, because a conditioned soul is imperfect, he has these 4 defects, then these 10 maxims, if they're established by a conditioned soul, will always be faulty. Right? And so through that, you can never know the absolute truth. So the only way to know the absolute truth is to learn these 10 from the Veda itself. Right? In other words, from the scriptures. That's the only way to understand it. So the principle is through authority, guru, sadhu, and shastra. So shastra is the basis of guru and sadhu. Right? That's the only way you can know. So if people don't understand like that, that means they don't have the faith in the Veda. They're not taking shelter in the Veda. Otherwise, one who has the faith in guru and in the scriptures and in Krishna, then everything is revealed. So if you don't have that faith, it's not revealed. So one doesn't know. One is then based on one's own imperfections, one is then trying to understand the absolute truth. Problem. Right? Because it should be dynamic. Right? Prabhupada says 700 Gitas were present with translations in English. Nobody's becoming a devotee. One book comes out as it is, people become devotees. Therefore, you see, it works, it's potent. Those 700 didn't work. So as these more speculative philosophies based on a conditioned soul's imperfections are being propagated, we see less and less expansion and development of the movement. Does that make sense? It's very direct. No one likes it, but it's fact. That's why we turn to the acharyas, to remove our doubts. Right? It's very clear. You practice Krishna consciousness based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, it works. We don't follow it, it doesn't work. Very simple. You know, it's just like saying, okay, your computer doesn't work. Did you plug it in? How can you ask something like that? That's very insulting in this. Well, it's point, is it plugged in or not? It's plugged in, it works. It's not plugged in, it doesn't work. Oh, how can you say like this and that? How can you take such an absolute stand? How can you be so sure? Does that make sense? That's the problem. You're either plugged in or you're not. That's simple. Like that. Why are we so interested in the, so continuing. Why are we so this is all on sadayati, yes.
And there's apparently a few other concepts of West addiction for Prabhupada in terms of Kodavashas and Bombard.
Others went to the West.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were following, they had a proper semantic, so it doesn't seem that it's always the result because we're only following.
That element is there, but the point is this. They didn't have the faith that it could be. When that first preacher came back from England, then Srila Prabhupada went to meet him and Sridhar Maharaj went to meet him. So they picked him up in Bombay and they rode on the train back to Calcutta to come back this side because this is where the base was. So then, while they were there, while on the train, then they asked the honorable preacher, so how was it? What was it like? Then it says, oh, they're there, but you can't answer these questions that they ask, and, you know, you can't establish it and everything like that. You know, it's just like it's too different. It's impossible. Right? There's no basis, right? So then Sridhar Maharaj asked, he said, okay, give us one of your questions. Like that. So he said one, and then he turned to Prabhupada for the answer. You know, he answered it, right? Then he said, next question. Like this, they went through many questions, and when he finished the questions, then I think Sridhar Maharaj, you know, pounded his fist on the desk and said, the West has been defeated. So in other words, we see he went, he didn't have that conviction. Prabhupada went, he had the conviction. So that point is there. Even if you have it, where's the conviction? Oh, we have to fit in. Nobody will like us like this. They won't like our bed sheets. Well, it's strange. They don't mind a priest's, you know, bed sheets. Right? We were just in Australia. 500,000 people came from around the world, right, to see the Pope out there in more wild stuff than we would ever wear. You know, pointy hats and all kinds of stuff. You know, scepters and like that. And so they don't mind. So that's the whole point, is this idea is that, you know, they're just, basically it comes down to they're embarrassed. That's all. And if they project that, no, I'm fine, but I'm embarrassed about everyone else, still you're embarrassed. Because Prabhupada wasn't embarrassed. They're ours. What are we embarrassed about? You know what I'm saying? So they're not identifying with it. Their identity is not strong. Therefore, their security is weak. Therefore, the focus won't be strong. The determination won't be there. Therefore, they can't get the goal. There's no desire to get the goal. Therefore, there's no endeavor. Does that make sense? So that's a prominent element. So continuing, now he's explaining about conviction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why are we so interested in the conviction that the Vedas are authentic? Replying to such a question, it has been stated in Brahma Sutra 2.1.11. that human intelligence can never be satisfied through arguments, and as such, no wisdom of spiritual transcendental truth could be obtained by means of arguments. Right? It has to be based on realization. It has to be based on the scripture itself. In Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva 5.22, it is said that the transcendental subject matters could never be considered discernible through arguments. Again, Brahma Sutra 113 says that the scriptures are the only source of discerning anything related to the knowledge of Godhead, and that 2.1.17, authentic words are the only vehicle for discerning transcendental subject matters. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24, it is said that, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, love for you and its refinement, developing into the stage of pure devotion, means that the image and the opulences of Godhead, although unknowable to the forefathers, the demigods, and also to human beings in general, yet their real vision is the revealed words of truth contained in the Vedas. In other words, the words of the Vedas have become the true vision to human beings in order to experience the Vedic instructions and to disseminate these instructions amongst the ignorant people. In these words, the great sage Sri Vyas has accepted that the writings of the Vedic scriptures, revealed as the divine instruction, have been accepted as authentic and authoritative. Remember, this is the word for word. Like that. So sometimes people wonder why Prabhupada expands it instead of just giving the direct literal word, because the word for word means you understand what the word means, its context, its relationship. Right, so it's very much used like this by the acharyas. They gave a whole, half page purport on one word, just the word for word. This is not the translation. Right, so in other words, the Veda becomes the eyes of the human being who's interested in promoting himself to the pure love of God. Right, so that means that's Shastra Chakshus. So that's the whole idea, is how to develop that vision of seeing through the scriptures. Whatever you look at, you see it in relationship to the scriptures. That means then everything you see, everything you do, everything you think about is connected to the scriptures. Right? That means everything's connected to Krishna. Right? Then your life's perfect. Does that make sense? Translation. The axiomatic Vedic wisdom revealed to us through disciplic succession from Brahma and others blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, is the most authoritative source of instructions. It is fortified by the nine pramayas which reveal in truth the truth. Dry arguments and reason alone are insufficient for discerning that which is inconceivable, namely transcendental subject matter. Therefore, no such arguments can penetrate into the spiritual domain. Right? It doesn't mean we don't use logic. It means that the logic itself is not going to get you into the transcendental. Right? You can logically establish what has been penetrated. Does that make sense? But it itself will not get you there. That's why the academics, the logicians, grammarians. They cannot understand the absolute truth unless they hear it from the authorized scriptures, from the devotees. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay. Verse 3. Word notes. Vidi Shiva Suresha Pranamita Haristvekam Tatva Tatvam. Sri Hari is the only source of knowledge worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and Indra. Satu Navajala Dhakantish Chidudyaya Radhakanta. His complexion is like a newly formed cloud. He is the spiritually blissful form of Shyamasundar, glorified companion to Radha, known as Krishna Chandra. Yad Brahma Tatanumaha. Brahma, as stated in the Upanishads, is the bodily effulgence of Brahman, as stated in the Upanishads, is the bodily effulgence of Radhakanta. Jagaranu Gata Vishvajanaka Paratma, innermost knowledge of the universe, father of creation, supreme soul, Tasya of Sri Krishna, Amsha, the third incarnation of Godhead as Vishnu lying on the transcendental ocean of milk. Translation. Sri Hari, who is worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, is the supreme source of all knowledge. Impersonal Brahman is the bodily effulgence of the beautiful Lord Sri Radhakanta. The creator of the universe, Lord Vishnu, who lies on the transcendental ocean of milk, is only a plenary portion of Sri Hari. Sri Hari himself is none other than our Sri Radha Vallabha, the lover of Sri Radha. He has a complexion like a newly formed monsoon cloud as visualized in our hearts. So establishing the sambandha of who he is and his position, right, and his relationship with Radharani. Right? Like that. So in the Vedic, the Vedas is based on Om expands Bhurbhuvasva, that into the Brahma Gayatri. So that is, and then from the Brahma Gayatri comes the Purusha Shukta, from there comes the rest of the Veda. So then this element of the Lord and his energies that we find in the AUM, in the, what do you call it, tree? Can't remember what they call it. You know, there's a name for Om, meaning it means three. And so then, that we see is then, it again and again mentions that his connection with Srimati Radharani, because the Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna, but it mentions Krishna as the Lord of Radharani. So then that goes together, that effulgence, what comes into this world. That reflects the sun, and this Brahma Gayatri is reflecting, is in one sense, worship of the sun in its most external manifestation. But the sun god is Krishna with his energy, Radharani. Does that make sense? Like that. So these are the subtleties on how the Vedic culture is consistent. So we can get from what even the most materialistic person accepts to the highest elements of, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnav, Siddhanta, based on the same principles. Just all it is the difference is how far you take it, that's all. They see the external form, they don't necessarily see the internal. Therefore, they don't get to Braja. We see that, so the Gaudiyas get to Braja. The others just get, they see part of it, they get to the heavenly planets. They see a little more, they get to Brahman. They see more than that, they get to Vaikuntha. They see more than that, they get to Braja. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 4. Word notes. Sa, Sri Krishna. Parakaya Shakter Apartagapi. Even being non-different from the Supreme Power. Sve Mahimani Stito, even being situated in his own undivided glorified position. Tam Tripadikam, the only power in the forms of eternal, internal, external, and marginal potencies according to function. Shakalavishaye Preranapara Svantrecha, he himself is independent and self-willed even after deputing different entities as per internal, external, and marginal relationships. In other words, he's still independent even though he's expanded all these living entities. Right? And he's the source of all these kinds of energies, internal, external, and marginal. Paramapurusha Vijaye, Supreme Personality Sri Hari, stays as he is. Okay, so then translation. Although he is non-different from his imperceptible supreme power, he is an independent and self-willed entity. The Supreme Personality is eternally in existence in his own glories. He is debuting his internal, external, and marginal potencies all the time towards different activities in proper ways. Still, he is staying in his full potency and form as an undisturbed entity and the supreme source of all knowledge. Right, so he's still the source of everything. Right, because we're taking the last one. He's still the source of all knowledge, source of everything. Still the supreme, but he's the source of all these energies. He's non-different from them at the same time as he stands on his own as independent. Right? That's the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. He expands everything, he is everything, but he still stands separately as an individual person. Right? This is God. Right? So it's just this is what God is. This is his position. Okay. Verse 5 describes that the Supreme Lord is an ocean of unlimited rasa. Word notes. Savai, Krishna himself. Pladin yascha, of the aspect of amusement under constitutional potency. Pranaya vrikrite, ladana rata, engaged in the matters of amusement under amorous ecstasy. Puna tach chakti, samir chakti, prakatita, raho bhava rasita. Again, that constitutional potency is phenomenally manifested through material relationship of samvit. Oh. You found it. Punascha takshakte sandhim krita vishada tada mani chaye rasambodhao magno. Again, being submerged in the ocean of transcendental mellow of relationship between the individual and the Supreme Lord through the material features known as sandhini, manifestation of the constitutional potency. Vraja rasa vilasi vijaye. The supreme enjoyer of Raja, Sri Krishna, remains abounding with all his excellence. Translation. There are three manifestations of spiritual potency. Now this is Rasabdhim, that he is the source of all rasa, right? As we on the fourth one. Krishna is the ocean of rasa, right? So Rasabdhim. Now here's the full translation of Rasabdhim. There are three manifestations of the spiritual potency: Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini, bliss, cognizance, and eternal existence. Under the amorous ecstasy of bliss, Sri Krishna is always attracted, and under the intimacy of transcendental cognizance, he is ever satisfied. Manifested through eternal existence, as in the tranquil dham of Vrindavan and the like, that very independent enjoyer of Braja, Sri Krishna, is eternally present as deeply engrossed in the transcendental mellow of spiritual relationship. This means that these three manifestations, namely bliss, cognizance, and eternal existence of the spiritual potency, are widely well known. The manifestation of bliss from the spiritual potency conveys complete transcendental blissful satisfaction through the daughter of King Vrishabhanu to Sri Krishna. Herself being the beloved consort of Krishna, she is the source of eight varieties of awareness manifest in her eight closest girlfriends in physical forms: Priyashaki, confidential friend; Narmashaki, intimate friend; Pranashaki, friend as dear as life; and Parama Preshtashaki, most intimate friend. These four varieties of service mentality have been manifested by herself in her four classifications of friendship. They are the eternal successful friends in the transcendental Dham of Raja. The aspect of samvit or cognizance under spiritual potency has manifested all sorts of relationships prevalent in Vraja. The aspect of sandini or eternal existence under spiritual potency is manifested through the existence of the villages, forests, dwellings, hills, cows, bulls, materials for enjoyment of Sri Krishna, Sri Radhika and their friends. Their servants, Lord Sri Krishna, is eternally ecstatic in amorous bliss and is active in transcendental cognizance developed through the aspect of samvit. Cow protection and the rasa dancing are all the activities of Krishna developed through the aspect of samvit or transcendental cognizance of Sri Krishna. Within the eternal existence of Braja Dham, Sri Krishna is eternally engrossed. Braja Lila Dham is the most enjoyable place of all the places of pastimes of Sri Krishna. So then, here is mentioned the potencies before, right? Sarva Shaktim, right? Full of all energies. So everything is coming, spiritual, material, and marginal. But then here, Rasabdim, he's describing these energies through rasa. So through the Hladini, then, you know, then Srimati Radharani, then manifests that whole, she is the source of Krishna's pleasure, right, in that rasa. Like that. Then we see is that the samvit potency, sandini potency, manifests the place of the pastimes. Right? All the things that you see that are there that take part in, that's part of, that is then the, from the sandini potency. Right? So now their friends, their servants, that is manifested the samvit potency. Right? And also it even mentions even the rasa dancing, cow protection, rasa dancing, right, are there. But the rasa tasted in that, that would be hladini. Yes?
On this platform, we're not dealing with the chakra vyuha, as in some vana being divided into the field.
That's just another way of approaching it, because the field is there. That's the sandini potency. So that's your existence, right?
It's
now existence. So the existence then is part of is sambandha vidhaya prayojana, right? It's sambandha, right? So that's the sankarshan aspect of it, being attracted to that, right? That's madan mohan.
So those aspects are still present.
They're still present in there. It's just another way of viewing it. Right? So now we're looking at it through the three potencies. Right? But then within that, then what aspect is being manifest? So that the place is established, that's sankarshan. Right? Because sandini is still there. That's still, that translates here as ignorance. Right? And sankarshan is the lord of the ignorance. Right? So he's the lord of the existence. Does that make sense? So it's still consistent. It's just a different perspective, so that, you know, because you're trying to bring out something, so you take that particular perspective. Because, you know, it means you have unlimited things there, but you have to put them together to have some meaning. So how you put them together will bring out a certain aspect. Put it together slightly differently, it comes out as something different. But it's the same ingredients. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, means, yeah, basically the situations are sandini, right? The various relationships and various activities that go on, that's from the samvit. Right, and the conjugal mood and that whole taste there, that's coming from body.
Okay.
Like that. So therefore the rasa dance is an activity. Therefore samvit. Right? But the taste that's gained from that, that's hladini. Does that make sense?
And what about the taste from cow protection?
But who is he tasting that with?
Cow
The cow, so the cows, then that's the Sandini.
Right.
And the cowherd boys, then that's Samvid.
Well,
you know, in other words, you have a situation, you have the activity of the situation, then you have what's tasted.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? So is by Radharani's expansions, everyone's expanding from her. So you can't say that that taste, that ananda, that prema, is coming from Vadini, because that's the potency. All the activities of that the devotees are performing are coming from the Samvit. The situations in which they perform those activities and facilities for that is the Sandini. At the same time, is the taste of those rasas then is within these three also. You know, overall you can say it's Ladini because it gives potency, pleasure to Krishna. But within that, then you have the element that the Ladini is the conjugal, the Samvit is the middle three rasas, and the Sandini then is the Shanta rasa. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 6 describes the living entities as the Lord's parts and parcels. Word notes. Clarifying the source of theism. The living entities in different categories are being described. Surasya hare anavaiva, like the molecules in the rays of sun. Chiranova, living entities. Te turg dhagne spulinga iva, like the sparks of a fire. Apritagapi tu tabe da. Davishya, because of its atomic nature. It is considered as a separate entity, although non-different from the Supreme Godhead being manifest through his marginal potency. Yasya vase maya saeva ishvara prakriti pati. That Hari is the Godhead, the controller of nature, and illusion is active under his influence. Sajiva mukta api, even if that living entity is liberated. Swagunata, by his own modes, in other words, desires for enjoyment according to individual cravings. Prakriti vasaya yogya, susceptible to influence of illusion. Thus, a difference between Godhead and living entity is ascertained. Translation. Just as the sparks coming out of a flaming fire, infinite living entities are emanating as the transcendental particles of sunlight in the effulgent rays of Sri Hari, being the transcendental sun himself. Although non-different from Sri Hari, all living entities have eternally different status. The eternal difference between the Godhead and the living entity is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by dint of his exceptional qualities, has kept the illusory potency eternally subjugated as a servitor, and that by virtue he is the supreme lord of nature, thus to be accepted as Godhead. Whereas one who is susceptible to the influence of illusion simply because of his material nature, in spite of the fact that he is in a position of liberation, should be categorized as a living entity. Right? So there's a difference between the living entity. He's eternally there, but he's subordinate. Right, because you have to establish both things. He exists and he's subordinate. Right, because the the Buddhists say he doesn't exist. The Brahmavadis say he's the same as God. Therefore, there's no difference. So you have to be able to establish both. He exists and he's subordinate. Right, and the main point, the difference is the living entity can come under illusion, while the Supreme Lord can't. Right? So in relationship to us, that's all we need. Right? Internal potency, that's another matter altogether. But the internal potency is always subordinate to the Supreme Lord in service. Right? So in other words, there's the Lord, and then everything is subordinate to him. Right? And the jiva then is the junior of the spiritual potency, because he can come under illusion. Sense. Any questions? Yes.
Can we say that the internal potency of Krishna is not different from Krishna?
All the potencies are non-different, but at the same time they are different. So I'm saying he's non-dual, so him and his creation are non-different. At the same time, they're different. Does that make sense? That's
all. So there's Radha Tattva is different from Shrimati Radha Tattva is different. There's another Tattva, different from the Jiva Tattva and the Vishnu Tattva.
Yes, it means you have Vishnu Tattva, you have the internal potency, and you have the Tatastha Shakti. So the Tatastha, the marginal potency, is different from all three of them. But it's an expansion of the internal potency. It's just at the point where the internal potency meets the external potency. So that joint, that's the living entities, that's us.
Can you actually trace who that expansion comes from? I mean, who are we directly expanding from?
From the Samvit.
I guess my question is, on Balaram's side, we see...
try Lalita Devi.
True.
But then, unless you understand how she's dealing with Samvit and that, the answer won't mean anything to you, so...
Also, I had a question about Vaikuntha. It's the rasa exchange between the devotees and the world. On the one hand, there's Lakshmi, who's serving in, is it conjugal mixed with...
No, you only see servitorship. Their conjugal relationship is between them. We just know she's the best servitor, we all assist her, that's all. It's very formal, it's all rules.
So we do assist Lakshmiji, I mean the other...
They assist Lakshmiji, but in servitorship. She's serving, we assist her in serving. So there's only servitorship.
And is it in form like Lord Narayan's or like Lakshmiji?
Means Narayan has four arms, she has four arms.
But do they aspire for a female form or a male form?
Basically, whatever form you're in is where you go in. If you have a husband and wife, they perfect themselves, they are husband and wife in Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Right? I'm saying because it's just servitorship, so there's no, it's pretty straightforward. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's all perfect, so it works very nicely. But in Braj, you know, or in, once you get to Goloka, then it can be different because you deal with five rasas.
So what's the influence of Ladini Shakti in Vaikuntha?
Ladini, it means Krishna is getting pleasure from it. As we mentioned before, the pleasure potency means whatever is gained from any of the rasas, but it specifically means the conjugal. Because the conjugal includes all the other rasas, so all the other rasas expand from it. Does that make sense? It's the adi ras, so everything else comes from there. So the pleasure in all those is coming from the ladini potency. If the ladini potency is full, then you call that the conjugal rasa. That's why Veda Veda Prakasham, right? It's simultaneously one and different. They're one, but they're different. So being able to see where the oneness is and being able to see the difference also simultaneously, your Shastra Chakshus becomes dynamic. You can see contradictory things happening at once, then it works very easy for you. Does that make sense?
Just like we have in a friendship in honor, reverence in Ayodhya is equally known by Buddha friends.
Which?
In Ayodhya, friendship in honor, reverence.
Oh, no, it's friendship, and honor and reverence is something separate. But the friendship is there, it's just formal. So formal means it's always going to have rules and all that. So you have the same thing in Dwarka. But the mood in there is more the rules, the taste of following dharma. So maryada is very prominent. While Dwarka, it won't be so much that prominent. It'll be a little bit more relaxed, but it'll still be formal. It's still rules. right? Dwarka then basically, I mean Mathura then is kind of like that, those lines are blurred, you know? But in Braja then, it's not based on the rules. It's based on, in other words, the rules serve the affection, rather than the affection is expressed through the rules. So rules are still followed, but just they follow the affection, yes.
When you speak of Mathura, which personalities are generally prominent ones, which pastimes?
Mathura, yeah. Means Krishna and Balaram.
Yeah. I mean, it comes as forward, Kuja.
Yeah, it means whatever is mentioned is Mathura Lila.
But it is so brief, that's why.
Yeah, because it's just, it's a realm, it's a transition between Vrindavan and Dwarka. So you have more of that very strong attraction, spontaneous attraction in Mathura, but it's still expressed through, generally through, you know, the Vaidhi form. But not necessarily. It's, that's what I'm saying, it's kind of in between. Like that. So it's not a clear, it's not so, it's not as prominent. Therefore, the Braj pastimes, the Dwarka pastimes, those are the ones that you'll see most clearly delineated. The Mathura pastimes are a little bit more like that. But they're mentioned, Bhagavatam mentions them. You know, when Krishna walks into Mathura, just what's the mood of everybody and all that. So that's what's important in Mathura, is just that flavor, that mood. That's the most important. So it's not as much pastimes as the mood. Well, Braj, you have the mood with pastimes. In Dwarka, you have a particular mood with pastimes. But there, it seems to be more just the mood. Because it's a transitional state between the two. You know, you have Krishna and Balaram, then you have Balaram Mahanarayan. The Mahanarayan, he's the lord of Mathura. Right? He expands then as Sankarshan, Pujun, Adiyudra, and Vasudev. That's Krishna and Balaram, and Pujun, and Adiyudra, and Dwarka. You know what I'm saying? So it's in between the two. So you hear of everybody in Vrindavan, you hear of them in Dwarka. So that's where it transforms. Does that make sense?
So it's still a destination of the spiritual world?
Maybe, but we're not so worried about it. You know, maybe there are people who that is, but we don't talk about it so much. Sure, okay? Mm-hmm. So ends here. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare